funny. I have a tattoo like on the same calf in the same spot.
We're going. We're going live. You can hear you. Everybody can hear you.
That's fine. He stood up. You said we were going live, and he stood up. So what am I gonna do?
All right. So good morning. Good morning, New Eden. Today is May 21st, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-hosts are Samson and Nightflyer.
Frozen's trying to be all fucking professional on this shit when he knows that is not how we do in Eve. Good morning, New Eden.
We have a guest. He's trying to be on his best behavior. So.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
How was your week there, Frozen? How was gameplay?
Good. Things have been going really good, and I've been getting out there murdering some people, and big changes coming to Golden Age Stories here. We're going to go in and talk about that. So today, we're going to be interviewing Alexiev Card, or Cardi,
Card.
Former member of the CSM and leader of the mercenary organization known as the Network, who has signed up to fight for the Galente militia just before a lot of the changes that came with front lines. We're also going to be announcing, and are announcing right now, that we are joining up as Golden Age Stories, as a corporation inside of EVE Online. We'll be joining up with the Network, so looking forward to working with you, Alec. So tell us, how's space Cheers. Been treating you?
Pretty darn well. We had a heck of a day yesterday. A major battle in Athunin, and then literally as soon as we docked up, about half the Network folks that were on it went out into Nullsec to do a Black Ops fleet with another group that is joining the Network shortly, Scottfire, and that was very interesting. We wound up killing a structure. I ganked the same guy in the same VNI twice.
Nice.
He was so mad the first time. I hope he's okay after that second one.
You can reach out to us for help if you like.
Yes, just emotionally. Tell us where you
are. Yeah. I mean, emotionally, you know.
We'll help him, convince him to put the Vexers down. I'll just take all the Vexers he has off.
I will sell you.
There you go.
New Vexers on contract in my home system.
Just enabling him. But that was a good fleet. We also killed a few other things, but that was the highlight for me. The first one was an interesting drop because we caught him, but we had two Sinos up at the time for whatever reason. And so the bridge actually went to the other Sino and not to me. So I was sat there in a Razu in scram range of a Vexer Navy issue that also scrammed me back and snooting me. I'm like, guys.
Oh, no. Little help here.
What are we doing over here? But his DPS wasn't that good despite having three drone damage amps. So I actually wound up tanking him long enough to get the scram off, started maneuvering again, put my drones on his drones, anything I could do to slow my death enough for them to get back into position, wait out the jump timer, reactivate, and then have the fleet come rescue me.
Nice. I mean, Arazis can be pretty tanky.
Yeah, they can be, and I had a plate hardener repper set up, so I was pretty thick, but still, VNI, scary. Mm.
Yeah, that is definitely something that can, completely newt you out and just, you know, shut down your day and then bring in the ogres and just punch you in the face.
And I didn't have a cap booster, so I was, by the time I noticed the newt situation, I was like, oh, I should probably get my repper in while I can, because if I wait another 30 seconds, I'm not going to be able to. So I overheated it, and I got as many cycles out of the ancillary as I could before I was totally capped in. And then at that point, it was just me activating my scrambler on repeat every time I'd got just enough cap to turn it back on, and then he'd get me back again. So we got him.
Alex, this is like the, third time been on our show?
Second or third?
Definitely at least once. I want to say I was on twice before, but maybe not.
I'd have to go back through the records, but they're it's in the records.
Yeah. I'm going to say three, because the first one I set up, and then I got called into work and missed it, and then I was here for the second one, so I'm going to call it.
Okay, yeah, I think that's right.
Did we say that Alex running was from Declaration of War, which is the longest running EVE Online podcast?
That is a good thing to definitely mention. Yeah, how's podcasting life going on?
Yeah, how's the being the Joe Rogan of EVE Online?
I'll take that. Could use my Spotify deal any day now, though.
Yeah, I know Brisk.
We just need some DMT. Brisk
isn't. Now the thing about ayahuasca is.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get some DMT.
It's been good. We just recorded episode 255. It's in the can. Talking a lot about what's going on in the southeast of Nullsec. There's a lot of interesting stories happening down there with some smaller alliances interacting with each other while all the coalitions play in the sandbox elsewhere. So we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about the new expansion, some faction warfare developments. So, yeah, declarationsofwar.com. Subscribe. Tune into the next show.
Yeah, so what do you think of the new changes that have just came with the shipcaster and the... Is there any major changes besides the shipcaster?
Well, not on my radar until the next big patch, which should be in the next couple weeks. Shipcaster, honestly, I haven't interacted with it much. I've been back in the war zone for a day or two.
I mean, we don't even have one yet, so...
Yeah.
I think I briefly saw a construction node. That was about it. I haven't been in a scenario where Kaldari's used it against me, and I've noticed where I've seen the opportunity to attack it. So far, just my personal experience hasn't been terribly impactful.
Yeah, that's kind of been my experience as well, is that there is really not a lot of use in it. It's extremely expensive to get up and operational, and extremely easy to kill. So that's my major problem that I have with it.
I barely even know what it is.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is that there's not a lot of... I guess there's a whole event going on for it, which is... Yeah, there's
the players that would be naturally advantaged by that kind of feature are also the players least likely to know it exists.
So to break it down for everybody that's listening, the shipcaster, right now what it does is it allows you to go to a high sex system. We'll have it in Taki, and the Kaldari have it in... I can't remember what the name of the system is, but it's nearby Jidda, basically.
Check. What's high sex?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that... So for a lot of us that have been living in Losec a lot, because that's, you know, the best way to deal with faction warfare, especially from a Galente point of view, is to just live out of Losec. Living out of Highsec is not capable for a lot of us, because we've been kicked out. So that's why I haven't been interested very much in it, because it starts in this Highsec system that... Basically, you go to a beacon, you activate it, and it'll randomly shoot you to a beacon that's been created in the war zone. It'll drop you on a very predictable spot of where you'll come in. So you can bring like a whole fleet and stuff like that. But these are easy to camp, is one of the big problems. But it's not even really that much of a problem for camping it, because it's so easy to kill them. Because it's like, what, you shoot it, and it's got a one-hour timer, I think, or something like that.
Yep.
Wow.
And okay. So, and do they get, like, notifications in militia or anything about this? Or how do they know that something's been reinforced?
It's a good question. I mean, we are a faction warfare podcast. We have no idea. So
well, CCP. We don't have one in Galente.
Yeah, we haven't been able to test it, so... Yes.
You get something, right? But I think a notification entire militia-wide, especially for something that's going to happen so often, it's very conceivable CCP went a different direction with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, but I've been hearing that basically the biggest complaint is that it's, you know, an hour long reinforcement timer. It's really expensive to build these things. You get dropped into a very specific spot. Like, all of these things are really going against the whole, like, why would you want to even use this? Like, you can still, I mean, truthfully, LoSec is not that dangerous. Like, the entry point
that
the entry point,
I know a lot of dudes.
It's one of the safest places you could possibly
yes, please. Say Yvangir is the safest place. Just come on.
It's easy. That's barely ever gate camped. The entry points can be a little bit of a danger, but it's better to just live out of LoSec, is what I'm kind of like, just going back. Like,
no, absolutely.
The shipcaster doesn't do anything to make it any better to live out of high sec.
Just, after we've killed you a few times, if you're interested, just fucking join us and then you're safe.
Then you can get through the gate.
not the other people, but you're safe from us.
Right.
And we'll help a little bit. We'll give you free ships to get blown up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to the LP tax. What's some of the other stuff that's coming up in the next patch that they're doing?
So there's corp objectives, which we talked about on the show today. There's graphical updates to Tech 1 frigates, to clouds, and to marauders. They're getting a bit of a...
Oh, is that the leaks that kind of came out when they had graphical issues?
Oh, it's an official like blog.
No, I mean, like, there was, like, glitches, like, a few, like, 6 months ago or something like that, where, like, the marauders were looking super cool, but only a couple of them, and, like, it didn't last for very long, but...
Could very well be. I've seen the pics. I think, ironically, the Vargr, which is the most common marauder, arguably, has the least impressive graphical update, whereas the Kronos, I think... probably the least popular marauder actually looks the best.
That's how it's done.
Looks pretty good.
You gotta bring them in. If the stats suck, you just make it look good, and that will, like, you know, take care of some of that. So, Baron Token, thank you so much for the follow.
What else we got? Tech 2 caps, I think, is the big one.
Oh yes, the Tech 2 caps. Play. That's gonna be an interesting thing. But
everyone's speculating about that. We don't really know what direction they're going to go, how expensive they're going to be.
I mean, I feel like that CCP, they're going to be like 50 billion-isk in order to build, and then it's going to be a 5%, you know, we don't even know what the stats are yet for it. I was thinking of the...
presumably they'll have some kind of unique capability, because that tends to be what the Tech 2 ships get compared to their faction counterparts. Whether it's a Marauder or Black Ops or a Command Ship or the Hack with its Assault Damage Control, Recons with their extra E-War bonuses. You know, we don't really know what direction they could go.
Really high resists might be
could be maybe their Doomsday Proof. That could be one.
Doomsday Proof.
Could be one direction. Asar Card, who is our guest for the latest Declarations of War that'll go out soon, speculated that we might see a jump conduit of some kind, so it's sort of a halfway step between a Titan.
Okay.
I was
interesting.
Thinking it might be nice for me, just as a player, one thing I'd love to see for carriers with extra electronic warfare fighter bonuses, make them tougher, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
But use the damage.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. That'd be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to just seeing what that does to the landscape, but I'm probably a long ways away from ever wanting Tech 2. Unless they're really good. It sounds like these are going to be used very sparingly and protectively. You know, it's just going to be giant balls of them that'll be going around, more than likely.
Well, we said that about Marauders too, and now it's one of the mainline doctrines of NullSec.
Now, it's only a billion-isk, though. And, I mean, it's used a lot in solo PvP. I wonder,
one
you know,
bill, 10 bill, who's counting?
Yeah, that, well... one bill and 10 bill is very different for me.
It's all RSP'd anyway, so don't worry about it. Right,
yeah. Yeah, you can SR, if you SRP my 10 bill ship, we're good.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with that. I really want to see what the LP tax is going to be like.
That could be a good moneymaker for, you know, faction warfare alliances.
Well, corporations, I think, would be the only level of tax.
Right, that. Corporations,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, the definitely would have made a lot of LP off of... The corp would have made a lot of LP off of me, and I barely even try plexing. So it's...
I don't even plex, and the corp would make so much money LP off of me.
You're just there for when we're out trying to murder things.
Well, but dude, so many squids come through my gate, bro.
Oh, that too, yeah, murdering.
You get LP. You get a lot of LP. Like, one kill will give you a freaking plex's worth of LP if you get the right kill.
If you're soloing it, yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
Who doesn't solo gate camp? I don't understand.
This is foreign to Sam. So, Alec, I want to hear about one of your favorite mercenary contracts that you've ever done in this game. What was the best interaction that you've had with a mercenary contract?
We've taken over 330 of them, so there's a lot to pick from.
That is a lot. That is
a good amount. That's a good amount.
How long has that been going on?
Over a decade. Somewhere between 10 and 15 years. That's a good check.
Wow.
I think he just called us all old.
Yeah.
I feel old as fuck, man. I look at my EVE Corporation history. It's pretty short. Then you look at the dates. It's like, ooh. Playing for a while. feels bad. I'd have to say the most enduring contract, the one that sticks out for me, is when we were hired by AAA to assist with their eviction of CBA back around 2010.
Okay.
That contract was unbelievable. Not only did we have one of the best rosters of Noir that we've ever had at the time, but the dynamic of it was just so crazy. Like, the whole situation was Severance was one of CVA's allies in their Providence coalition, took some systems in Ketch that they weren't supposed to take, and AAA knocked on CVA's door and was like, hey, thought we had an agreement that you guys stayed on your side of the line here, could you tell Severance to leave? And they're like, well, we're not going to do that. AAA said, if you don't do that, you're going to lose all your space. Well, we're still not going to do it. Okay. AAA went in and they started knocking over the sandcastles, and they had... It was a brutal campaign. It wasn't helped by some server issues that cost CVA a lot of their U.S. capital fleet, but even before that, there were problems. They were just getting rolled on in the Ketch-Providence border. We got hired to hit the other side of the region where they were still able to PvE a little bit, and where their alliances living there could stock up, rest, and relax, and then support their front line. Weren't able to do that with us there. We killed so many ships all times of the day that AAA pilots were complaining to their leadership that they didn't have enough targets to roam at in that area because we killed them all.
That's a good problem to have.
I'll never forget this one-off. Me, Nidia Masters, were duoing. I forget what ships we were in exactly. I want to say it was like nanohacks. We tried to do a 10-jump up, 10-jump back roam. Took us 3 hours. Because every couple jumps, we ran into a new ship to kill. And then, like, we spotted something behind us, so we had to backtrack. And went back and forth like that for literal hours. The longest roam of my entire life. And we barely went anywhere. We even went above and beyond. We set up a radio station. We set up a radio station, and we'd play all kinds of rebel music, revolutionary music, reggae and stuff. We're kind of inspired by Radio Free Zion from Matrix Online, if anyone remembers that game. So you're like,
yeah, I played a little
soundtrack,
a little bit. It didn't last for very long, but the Matrix MMORPG was really interesting. I had a lot of fun with it, but it unfortunately did not get enough support.
No, that's how I cut my teeth in MMOs, and Radio Free Zion was an absolute part of that culture. If you were playing the game, you were listening to that. And I was like, man, we should totally do something like that, something propaganda-wise. So anytime we would kill somebody, we would post it in local, post a link, and we'd tell people to ask their leadership about why they died, and like little messages like that. Do you know the truth about why this is happening to you? Ask your diplomat about XYZ thing. And it was fun to do, and then it actually went somewhere. One of the larger, well, not larger, I would say like a medium-sized alliance in CVA's coalition actually reached out to us and was like, hey, we're thinking of leaving. Can you arrange for us to like leave on good terms with AAA so we can get our stuff out? And, yeah, sure. So we wound up flipping them to AAA's side, and pretty much once that happened, on top of their cap ship loss, CVA's defense pretty much crumbled, and it was clean up from there. It was one of our most effective contracts. It was so much fun. The radio station thing added a cool, out-of-game, creative element to it. It was just a great time to play.
How long did that campaign last?
I want to say 3 weeks from start to finish, maybe a little bit less.
Oh, efficient. Very efficient.
That's what we go for. Noir kicked off January 2008, by the way. So I started playing in 06, started Noir about 2 years after that. So from 08 till now, not quite on 350 contracts, but we're getting there. 334. And then count the one that we just did, we're 335.
That is fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I used to count them like with each individually by name, and then I think around contract 150, 175, I realized I was going to hit a character limit and stop doing that. Good problem to have.
That is so cool. Yeah, so what is...
It is funny that CVA still has Noir set to red. They're mostly in high sec.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll never get off that red list. No. Never, ever.
That's a personal goal of mine, to be on like as many people's red list as possible.
Well, CVA has like the extra like long list, right? Because they do not red, don't shoot on site. So
we got added to their red list initially because we got hired by one of their smaller landholding alliances. Or excuse me, an alliance that was blue to them that wanted to get a system. And they had to impress CVA about their ability to like clean up pirates in the little tiny area that they gave them. So we got hired to help with that. And I guess CVA said we, quote, looked like pirates. They added us to the red list, even though we didn't shoot anybody, that they were mad that like they were blue to. They were like, you guys look like trouble. We're going to red you.
Yeah, you're not allowed in this space. We've seen you murder a lot of people.
And that set us down on a path.
That's spatial profiling. Silence.
You gotta be careful, man.
I said spatial, it's okay.
Yeah.
We could have been friends. Now they don't have a system.
Now they don't have a system at all. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting to see CVA build that, you know, neutral territory down in the south. Like, they were able to hold Providence for, like, ever. and it was like just the neutral territories. But it's been like, what, I want to say like 5 years or something like that, that they haven't had that space.
Yeah, they've made a couple comebacks, but nothing recent. Ever since Wrecking Crew. Wrecking Crew had like a slow motion invasion of Providence over the course of a couple years, and then all of a sudden CVA just couldn't keep doing it, and they just folded, and Wrecking Crew moved all their stuff in.
Yeah.
It took a long time for them to hit that point, but I guess they were just, they realized they were getting farmed, and they just had enough of it. Still around, though.
Speaking of farming, how is Faction Warfare treating the network? How are you guys doing these days?
Not too bad. We had a really big fight in Athenin yesterday with Sedition and a few folks from Aderon. And wow, that was a good fight. We ended up being nearly 8 billion killed over the course of about an hour over a Kaldari militia aligned Raitaru.
Oh, I think I read about this on Facebook.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. It was Cyclone Fleet issues versus a combination of Kaldari militia drakes, shadows, yes. Sanctuary of Shadows, Sash, whatever their name is, Hurricanes and Hurricane Fleet issues, and then some Calmill caps that wound up getting dropped.
Woo! Yeah, I read about this just recently on Reddit. That seemed like a pretty epic fight that happened.
It's a spicy meatball.
What was the end tally of damage?
I believe 7.7-ish, 7.8 killed on the Calmill side, and they killed about 180 million.
Yeah, did they kill like one CNI or something like that?
Yep.
There was one that got caught.
I think they got a Karas too. I think they killed a Karas or a Mollus.
That's rough. That's a beatdown.
Yeah, you can't feel good about that one. And it was a very rolling fight. It was a lot of back and forth engagements. You know,
you guys were trying to kill the structure, right? And so one of the things is to be sacrificial with your fleet to a certain degree so that you can get them to stop shooting the structure. And I heard that almost worked.
Yeah, they managed to get the timer down below 2 minutes before we took it from armor to hull. And a piece of mechanic that I learned myself is when you go from armor to hull, it resets the timer entirely. So that was the saving grace there. We were under fire, and we were still like, just shoot the thing. And we got the armor off it, and then it went from a minute something to 30 minutes.
Yes.
And at that point, we were pretty comfortable.
Yeah, there we go. All right. We can do this now. Yeah, so what have you been thinking about? So it's been, what, 8 months or 9 months since the changes have gone into effect with the frontline system.
It's really
battlefields have been critiqued a little bit here and there. What do you think about all the changes that came to Faction Warfare? Are you really, now that you've been with it for a while, are you still liking them? Or, because I believe when we talked about this last, you've always been, you know, pro on this.
Yeah, still pro on it. I do think there's something missing and I know it's a touchy subject because of the history of Faction Warfare and the way LP used to be farmed in waves and people would switch sides, but I do think there is just one little bit missing in that there's not much of an advantage if you hold one Faction Warfare system for your faction, 10 or 20. It's all the same. So right now what you're seeing is Galenti going, okay, Calmill, take the entire war zone, back us up to like 5-6 systems, we'll fight you there. There's no disadvantage to doing that. There's no advantage to actually proactively go out and take a system.
It's actually advantageous for the losing side to be pushed up against the wall, because at least the way that we've designed ourselves, like with Fliet, with Hadeles, with Old Man Star, with what's the one in the northwest on the Faction Warfare map? The
Alper?
The Placid. Is it Alper?
Alper out or Alper out.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I can look. I have got the game up right now. Albanol, that's it.
Albanol, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and regardless of how you cut it, like, there's no advantage to... Like you said, there's an advantage to, if anything, to be on the losing side, because your supply lines get shorter. You can fight out of your headquarters and have infinite reships. You never have to go anywhere. You're getting the same amount of LP, and they're getting the same amount of LP on the other side than they would otherwise be.
Yeah, I definitely think that that is a huge component that is really interesting, that there is no reward at all for owning multiple systems or having, like, they when they got rid of the tier system being tied into faction warfare LP payout, they didn't replace it with anything, but there's a whole mechanic that's, like, missing from the game now, which is, what do you do with the space? Why upgrade your space up to a level 5? Besides the base, you know, bonus that there is for that, so headquarters and stuff like that, you might want to get a sales reduction tax, or is it a POS refuel bonus as well, or something like that. They're so small that it's not that big of an issue to, like, care about having them actually at level 5. And then what does it matter for having all of these systems underneath your control? I think that would be really important.
What it comes down to, why win?
Yeah, when losing is better, like.
There's a bit of pride to it, like, you don't want to lose, but when it takes such a Herculean amount of effort to flip a system with the amount of grinding that needs to go into all the plexes that need to be run and have the other side struggling against you while that's happening. You know, outside of going and getting LP individually for yourself or going out to get the fight, it's like, strategically, why would you push your FCs? Why would you push your players to go take a system other than to board them?
Really? Yeah, just to say that you could have. I mean, that's basically the only reason why I want to take systems, because I want Notorious. Like,
yeah,
very selfish in that. I just. Want the crown jewel of Black Rise underneath the Galente control, and so
you had it for a while there.
Yeah, for a long time, actually.
I murdered many a nerd outside of the crack house.
Yeah.
Before
crack housing, okay.
Crack house.
Do love Battlefields though, and I'm looking forward to them being a little more impactful. I think CCP's mentioned that change might be happening.
Yes, I saw that LP rewards isn't really being changed, but VP rewards are being greatly changed.
Yeah, which I'm happy, like, about that. Like,
it's like 3,000 or something like that, I thought I saw. I thought I saw it was something like 1,000 or something, like LP or VP for flipping a battleground. And that large plexes are going to be worth a lot more LP. Like, every plex is going to be kind of boosted, except for maybe, like, the scout, I think, is really the only one that's not getting boosted, but they're getting, like, large boosts.
Navy small is also getting stabilized, but Navy advanced might get a slight buff.
Okay. I think that that's going to be really helpful in... it'll make it a little bit quicker, not too much quicker, but a little bit quicker on flipping a system.
And also, why even have the advanced if you're not going to give it a bonus? Like, it should be more dangerous.
It does give a little bit more LP. Does give a little bit more LP.
True, but it really should affect the contestedness of the system, because
more. Yeah, for sure.
Because I like hiding recons in advanced.
Yeah, I want people to go to advanced so that we can play in advanced with advanced weaponry.
Oh, is that my curse? No, you can't tell. You don't know what's there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the Warzone is like when you can flip systems a little bit faster. But like you said, all of that kind of, once again, doesn't really matter too much, especially with the border systems that you don't have to worry about losing access to your stuff there.
But there was one thing that I discovered recently, and I told to Frozen, I didn't realize that is that in a frontline system owned by the enemy, you cannot set a home station in it. You can dock and undock, but it would not let me set my home station, because we started our campaign, which, you know, I won't even say that we did that, but like I moved a bunch of ships to Nisswa. It was a frontline system. And but it was still owned by the Caldari, and I was like, okay, I got all my stuff here. I'm gonna set this to my home system so I can. And then it wouldn't let me. It said that this system was owned by the Caldari, and that I couldn't do that. So that's an interesting thing. I mean, we have Yvangir, so we're good.
We're yeah, just, we'll stay we're there, fine. But
we're next door, so like, it's so not,
there
it's not a big
there is
deal.
A little bit of a reason. You know, getting locked out is a reason to own some space. In order to yeah. reach some space, you might
like
have
a dozen
to like
ships
conquer
stuck
stuff
in Nisawa right now.
Exactly. Now we have a little bit of reason to want to like go to Nisawa a little bit more.
I'll just get more.
just get more ships. I just like to have a spattering all throughout the war zone so that
which
just,
I
no
do
matter what,
every time. I'm like, why do I not have any comets? I haven't lost a comet in like a month. Why do I have no comets? Oh, they're all over the systems. they're all over the region.
Everywhere, man. Because you just dock them up and then you just pod yourself home. Go yep. get a new item. Go run with it. Yeah, I'm hoping... Oh, go ahead.
I was just wondering if there's ever a mechanic or ever a plan to actually start losing some high-sec space. If Caldari take every system, every single system, then you know what would prevent them from flipping actual high sec space to the Caldari? Valente would go the way of the Dodo at that point.
I think from CCP's perspective, probably not much. They did make a point in FanFest where they were rolling out the faction warfare changes that there could be impacts, that security statuses could change, that the war zone could expand or contract or potentially even bleed into NullSec depending on how everything went. So it's entirely conceivable. Maybe if the Caldari continually owned the war zone for a long period of time, maybe they consider some kind of storyline change where HiSec becomes less sec.
That would be crazy. I would really like to see more LowSec and less
yeah,
HiSec.
I'm down for that.
I'm all for disrupting.
Imagine when it first comes out, how many noobs you could blow up. Like,
oh,
like when
a
it first.
Beautiful gate to
yeah.
So many.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We'll see. We'll have to see what CCP. I'm interested to see. I'm going to FanFest this year. I'm really interested yeah. to see what they unveil at FanFest this year. I'm still waiting for the skill. Change up where they were going to get rid of like attributes or whatever and then go to and make it so that you don't have to train a specific skill. You would just get a pool of unallocated skill points that you know would slowly rise, not based on attributes. I'm also waiting for like the crazy cool looking holographs that come about with like the more kill mails that you have, the crazier
kill
the
marks.
Holograph. Yeah, this the like, holographed kill marks would look really cool.
That gnosis I have with a different. I want to see that. Yeah,
but I'm interested to see what they unveil this year, just because they promised faction warfare would be greatly improved, and I feel like last year they came through with that pretty solidly. There's been a lot of really good the battlefields I've been having a lot of fun in. It's been fun to be, you get contested, but sometimes there's nobody to go, you know, like I was me. Samson, were you around for that one?
Well, we just ran it by ourselves
yeah,
on
yeah, there
one
was
thing.
This, yeah, there was this yeah. like three of us,
that
four
was
of us
Wednesday night
that just went in. It was just like, hey, all right, there's nobody
we ran
inside
the battlefield,
battlefield
on our own. On
we know
one
the
of
trick.
The nodes
we'll just do the trick.
Most
and...
of the...
Well, speaking of that trick, I think one of the best things they could do with battlefields is, aside from adjust the impact of winning one, is mess with that AI a little bit. It feels pretty dissatisfying to have this feature be runnable by three people in Tech 1 frigates just by making the AI try to keep range from you.
Yes.
It's a little frustrating. Just from a gameplay experience, it's Horde mode, where it should be. You just don't get that.
That's one thing that I'm really surprised at, that CCP said working as intended with this, the way that it's mm-hmm. being run right now. Because, I mean, obviously they could have just set it so that they just keep on respawning, you know, based upon if there is like one left, you know, instead of having it be you have to kill all of them, you know, you could have made it different triggers for different, you know, they could have messed with this in a lot of different ways in order to make it so that if there's somebody in the thing, just like right now we have always somebody shows up inside of the Plex. They obviously have a way of just after X amount of minutes, if there's nobody there, definitely, you know, put somebody in. Or I guess that is a little bit different because there's still one guy left. It's not just nobody's there. Getting closer or something would be like just they always stay within the box would be a lot better. Because then you would at least need to bump and like web them down.
You should have to do something.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just feels very dissatisfying to see it. And obviously they're Tech One frigates. If an enemy fleet comes in, they're the easiest thing to clear. But maybe they might, well, yeah, I guess if CCP is saying, hey, working as intended, maybe the answer is, well, you gotta contest. Which means this Tech One frigates will be the first things in the chopper.
Drive the PvP more.
That's kind of like everything that there is with content that's PvE in faction warfare does need to have a really interesting balance. Because if it's too intensive and takes too much energy and understanding of your environment and, you know, like even level 4 mission running level type kind of stuff, there's just too much going on there for PvP to be fun for the side that's doing the PvE content. So PvE content needs to be kind of boring. Needs to be something that if you're on the side doing the PvE content and somebody shows up to disrupt your content, you're actually pretty happy because something fucking happened to you. Like, I mean, defensive plexing and offensive plexing and even battlefields the way that they're being run right now, it's much more fun when they're contested than when there's no being contested at all. It's not even fun to watch, or, you know, it's like you just kind of sit there and do nothing and wait for that moment that somebody comes in, or you're scanning down all the plexes that are around you waiting to hope that somebody else goes into somebody of these other plexes that are out there and you can go hunt them down. But you can't make it intensive on having to do a whole bunch of stuff, I think, is everything that I've seen with faction warfare that allows me to do fun PvP in faction warfare is that if it was like if they put level 4 missions the way that they kind of are into faction warfare, that, you know, or any other content that they basically have that's engaging to a certain degree, it's just too much. You're focused on all this engaging content and all of a sudden like 20, you know, Merlins show up and they're like, hi, like you're gonna have to deal with us now. But I felt like Battlefields could be a little bit more of a balance on that, where there could be a... Because you can just disengage from the NPCs and now they're no longer a problem in the battle. So making that content a little bit more engaging for 30 people, I think that it needs to be more engaging than what it is right now. It is a little bit of a boring fest, snooze fest to do faction warfare. Or to do a battlefield that's completely uncontested. Also, the big thing that I think that they need to do is get rid of defensive battlefields in the sense that it shouldn't the LP payout should be 150 no matter what, and the victory point and everything should be the same. You ran a battlefield. There shouldn't be offensive and defensive battlefields.
Yeah, it's not clear to me what the advantage is of. Of having that differentiator.
Well, I can feel like
the battlefield regardless, right?
Well, I think that that's the backdraw for it is that there's a big incentive loss for the defender to do that in, say, a, you know, 3% contested frontline system. So the defender is like, well, this isn't going to pay me out any LP, and I have to bring, you know, a bunch of people that the enemy is going to be trying to, like, take over this. So if they, you know, push us, we can just be like, whatever, we don't want to do this anyways. And we're not even going to start it more than likely. The only time that they'll contest is if they have the ability to contest. They won't even really fight over it at all because it's not even worth it for them. Where it is worth it for us, you know, if you're doing it offensively. So I feel like that takes away from a desire to push us into each other and make us fight each other. But I've always said that I'm a big proponent of getting rid of the offensive and defensive concept either. Like, I think that there should just be plexes, you know? There shouldn't be offense and defensive plexes. There just should be an enemy of each side, and any time that there's a plex and you've got to kill that extra enemy, gives you a little, because then it makes it so that you don't have the defensive plexing, which is just sitting around in a frigate in an open, and, you know, either getting some LP that's pretty good, but the ensuring something is not going to be contested. There is a big advantage to having defensive plexing, actually. Like, even though it doesn't pay out as well, there is it's really easy to do. Like, you'd have a completely unfit frigate and you can close out the most, you know, largest plex that there is in the game.
But for battlefields, the NPCs are going to shoot you regardless, so.
That's the thing, is that battlefields don't have a difference between an offensive and defensive battlefield, except for the LP payout, which is kind of weird. This isn't just a really easy thing for us to walk in and, you know, if it was just Kaldari ships and they didn't have the two sides fighting with each other, then I would say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense the way that you guys designed this, that they shouldn't get very easy LP. It should just be a really easy task for them to do. So if it's defensive, you get a really big advantage to getting to run the defensive battlefield, but you have, you know, less LP that you're going to get. So you're de-incentivized from doing it, but it's really easy for you to do. I just think they should pay out the full amount either way, and that just incentivizes us to punch each other in the face. Like, it does seem like there is a large flood of LP. Have you guys been trying to find different ways of what to do with your LP? Because
God,
I'm starting...
Yes.
That's like one of the things that I've been spending a lot of time just out of game thinking about all the time. It's like, how do I churn this LP into something that's worthwhile?
Yeah, I've just tried turning it into Morris Navies, but haven't been able to sell them. I got literally millions of LP at this point just kind of sitting there. I don't know what to do with it exactly. I have a general idea of what to do with it, but I'm just too lazy.
Right, that's the biggest thing, is like, I kind of know what to do with it, which is what I've been doing to a certain degree, which is building a bunch of ships out of the BPCs.
That works pretty well.
And then selling off some of them, but mostly just using them. Like, it just means that I have a stockpile of a shit ton of ships that I can...
Yeah.
Access at any time, get blown up. I can just hand them out to people and stuff like that. I think one of my biggest things is just I want to be able to just hand out a bunch of ships to people and not have to have them give it back to me for me to care. And with the price that we get with a BPC and LP, it's like they feel like they're T1 frigate, you know, T1 cruiser costs, basically, to have a Navy cruiser. So you can make some pretty decent, it's still around 800 to a million, or 800,000 to a million ISK that you can make per 1,000 LP for selling a ship if you make it out of the BPC. But yeah, the problem is that you get so many then. It's just this, like, 1 million for Moros was just so nice to be like, okay, there goes a million LP. I don't have to worry about that. You have to sell 10 battleships in order to get to that point. Also, Griff says, I'm waiting for the augmented hamsters to speed up the servers. I'm really glad that I don't deal with some 0.0 stuff right now, because I am not a big fan of tie-dye fights. I think I like the concept that they did. I don't know if you played before they had tie-dye a bunch, right? Like, that was bad.
Like, most of my Nullsec experience, my big Null Fleet Fight experience, has been pre-tie-dye.
Oh, man. Pre-tie-dye, it was rough. Like,
it was.
It was
no joke.
Like, just random disconnects of stuff, just random other shit just kind of happening. Like, having everything happen at 1/5 the speed, it just, but commands go out, is just really, that was an impressive thing. But I am not, even with that change up, because a lot of my 0.0 time was also pre-tie-dye. I just,
you know, it's remarkable,
I don't
though,
miss
like,
it. Like,
there have been so many fights we've been in LSEC where I'm seeing like 100, 200, 300 people in local, no tie-dye at all.
Right.
So it's really impressive what CCP's been able to do to upgrade. And obviously players will push the servers to the max in these big fights, but you're getting more and more medium-sized fights without much, if any, server impact, which is really cool.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't seen any effect of tie-dye even in the 100. Like you said, like 200, 300 people can get into a fight and there's not even a hint of tie-dye going on. It's like, wow, it's doing pretty good. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, everything's in real time. And but I'm not sure how much they need to push the hardware at this point, to be honest. Like, it would be interesting to see, you know, like 20,000 people in a fight, but at that point that's the entire server that we have. So it's I think the CCP's in actually a pretty good spot, I think, for their hardware setup that they have, although there have been some recent 0.0 fights that have put everything to the max. There's, you know, been some complaining definitely up in the Fraternity Goon Swarm fight that was going on when they were taking down Keep Stars and stuff like that. So, but I don't deal much with that life anymore. So, have during your contracts, have you guys run into like massive, super laggy, giant fights that you guys get yourselves into in 0.0, or are you more of like hunting outside of that big fight?
Well, our past contract in Catch, we ran into a couple fleet fight scenarios where we had kind of in the range of 70 to 100 people aside, but there was no tie-dye to speak of. I think the last time I really remember it being a factor was late-ish last year. We got hired to defend Fortizar in Cloud Ring, I want to say it was. And that fight was a tie-dyed mess, and we had to do bomb runs in tie-dye.
Ooh, bomb runs in tie-dye.
That was pretty tricky,
fun,
as it turned out.
Some
of it was not tie-dyed and was fine,
regular.
But then when tie-dye hit, it was really difficult to try to pull off what we were trying to pull off. I think it was Cloud Ring. If it wasn't Cloud Ring, it was the contract right after Cloud Ring where we had to do something similar on a Fortizar. And one of the contracts went fine, and one of them did not. Might have been Venal. Now that I'm thinking about it. It's one of the two.
I think it was Venal.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Cloud Ring one is the one that actually went off without a hitch. And then we tried to do the same concept in Venal, but tie-dye made it functionally impossible. Even with the command still going through as they should, it just threw the timing off completely and just made it really difficult to land anything.
Yeah, I still have a Biofrost there, so I actually tell you.
So if somebody was interested in getting a hold of Noir for, or the network for a contract, what are some of the like guidelines and concepts of like what does Noir do? Like if somebody was like, I want this guy's corpse, would you take that kind of contract, or is it more of like, you know, you're looking for big big event, wars that people are participating in, kicking somebody out of, you know, somebody's space, or and then how much would something like that cost? I'm guessing that there's a variation between like killing somebody and getting their corpse and, you know, doing a campaign against CVA for AAA.
Yeah, we don't do the bounty hunting single target thing, and we don't generally do offensive war decks against groups smaller than us just to do it. We usually require a specific structure to attack or defend, or a specific system to attack or defend, region to attack or defend. Usually attack. Contracts usually break down into two general things, and of course, like the CVA thing, where we're kind of given a broad, do whatever you have to do to break their defense and split their coalition up guideline. We usually get hired to attack a specific structure or defend a specific structure, or attack a region or system that a certain alliance lives in, with the idea that we're attacking that alliance, but any blues or alts or whatever they might have in the area are also fair game. And that's what I would say 90% of our contracts usually come down to. We've also done escort contracts. We've done some really outside the box stuff. Yeah.
Bomb guarding. That sounds interesting.
Bodyguarding.
Bodyguard. Okay.
Like, yeah, we got hired by a small industrial alliance to make sure they could mine in LoSec for their ops. So for a couple weeks, they hired us every weekend for a couple weekends in a row, and we would put a fleet on top of their fleet and try to keep them alive as various LoSec people came in to try to gank them.
Were we various LoSec people?
You were not. No. The Super Cartel was, though. I think they turned up at one point.
Yeah. That sounds right.
They'll do that.
Well, what it costs? I'd say starting prices for structures, you're looking at about 50% of the structure's expected kill mail value. In wormholes or against particularly dangerous alliances or ops that would require us to bring cap ships or marauders or other expensive stuff, you could expect that price tag to go higher. And for pretty much everything else, it's kind of custom price. Kind of depends on how big we are at the moment, how much damage I could expect to do, what I expect the risk to be. But whatever the price is, I try to make sure that it is a good return on investment for whoever's hiring us, and it's also worth our while.
Yeah, so you're looking to try and
negotiation and hits.
So you're kind of evaluating how much you're probably going to lose in order to fulfill the contract, right? Like,
yeah, or how much time or effort. Like, if it requires us to deploy to deep NullSec, for instance, and they're looking for us to turn up in battleship doctrines, and they can't supply the ships on site, we're going to have to haul them all ourselves. You know, that kind of stuff is all going to get factored in. If it's come roam LoSec with frigates, then, you know, just kind of just paying for our time and what I expect to be the damage done to the area. We're not really adding anything extra on top of that, because the logistics will be very easy and it's not very complicated. So it really just depends on what the client's asking for. We'll do our best to get the job that you want done, as long as you're willing to pay for what we expect it to be worth.
What's the most anybody's ever paid you to do a contract?
I want to say like 20 to 25 billion, somewhere in there.
Okay, yeah.
I think
not bad.
Best.
What's the lowest that somebody's ever paid you?
Free. My first job ever. Any money. I just wanted to say that we had
pro
completed
bono.
A contract. And I think the contract after that was something ridiculous, like 100 mil or 150 mil. it was very cheap.
Well, you got to start somewhere in the murking world, especially exactly. In Eve, where like trust is really hard to come by. So
at the point where I charged 150 mil, or I forget if it was 100 150, I probably should remember because it was our first paid job, but it was 15 years ago.
Gotta put that on the wall, man. Like,
it was myself and one other player. That was how big Mart was.
Hey man, that sounds like, and that was in 2008, so you'd been in the game for a couple of years. But 2008, man, 150 million actually went a lot farther between two people than you would have thought in this day and age of inflation.
True. But I was at our job, I don't know if it's the one I'm thinking of, I was a war deck, high sec. I was myself, I think I had a pilgrim or a curse, I want to say pilgrim, with a set of high grade snakes.
Nice.
To solo these guys, pretty much. The other player he had was not nearly as active and wasn't nearly as skilled, but you know, when you're that small, you take whoever you can get.
Yeah.
So it's mostly me just trying to run around, make something happen, and show that we could put kill mills on the board. But we did, and it worked out from there, and then we grew a bit, caught some lucky breaks joining the right alliances, and just kind of somehow picked up the baton for high caliber small gang mercenaries in Eve, and we've kept running with it ever since.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of other competition out there. Not that, I mean, there, you could always like look for hired guns, but there's really few that are like advertising as being like, that's what they do, is being a hired gun, you know.
I mean, if you give enough money to anybody, they might get them to do something for you, like,
right?
Even the big coalitions will be like, yeah, I guess if you pay me 10 titans, we'll go fight wherever you want,
right?
But we're the only group that does mercenary gameplay as our primary thing, where we try to be on contract as much as possible. We'll fight not just in one particular area of space, like you'll have some high sec war deck groups which will advertise themselves as mercenaries, and they are. But they'll rarely go outside of high sec. Most of their mercenary contracts are high sec structure based, or add these guys to the pile of war decks you'll always have in Jita because you're a war deck alliance that operates in a very specific area. They'll have some groups in wormhole space that'll do evictions or defenses for money, but they'll rarely go out into null, or they'll rarely go out into low. We're the one group that'll go to any of those places, fight pretty much anybody, and our shop's always open. It's not like, oh, I wonder if big NullSec Alliance X would do this thing for us if we give them enough incentive or make them enough promises. We're an open shop. You can come ask me what you know, what it would charge to do whatever you need, and if you give us money, we'll put you in the queue.
Ah, man, that reminds me of when we were talking about, like, mercenaries, MechWarrior mercenaries, of, like... so I'm excited to jump in and be part of the mercenary life. I've never actually been a mercenary.
I don't know how... It's weird to potentially get paid to blow nerds up in space, because I just do it for fun. I mean, like, so... If you want to pay us, you know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I wanted to get to with Noir. I wanted to... The core of concept of the corp was like, could we play Eve without engaging in PvE? Because I didn't really like mission running. It bored the hell out of me. Same with NullSec ratting.
Yes.
It only got fun for so long.
Yes.
I really liked PvP. I wanted to just do that. Could I figure out a way to make that happen? Yes.
And you did. Yeah.
Took a little... A little bit to
try
hear
it
new, got it.
Yeah, that is the reason why I got into faction warfare, was like, okay, I can do PvP and PvE alongside. That's kind of boring, but really does lead into, like, just before the show here today, I mean, we got into like 8 or 9 fights in like 2 hours or something like that. I mean, most of the time, you're not going to get that. You know, your fights in the other ones would have been just ganking, you know, some PvE fit, you know, ship. maybe an Ishtar, probably. You know, maybe you catch three or four Ishtars in a couple hours. Maybe you do get something big fish. There are some big fish 0.0 kind of stuff that is kind of nice, like orcas, jump freighters doing stupid shit. Those are really rare, and you can get that in low sec as well. I find, like, just the small gang, like, 5v5, like, people just punching each other in the face and just throwing ships at each other, you know, shipping up, shipping down in order to, like, get into a fight was why faction warfare was, like, a really good place to get good fights and then also get some pay, you know, by doing it. But I'm looking forward to doing this. I always considered Golden Age Stories as kind of being a mercenary group for the Galente, and they're just been our only contract that we've ever been
privateer
on. And so yeah, we're privateers that that got signed up with the Galente, and so I'm looking forward to building a new path of working with the network and doing.
I do want to be perfectly queer. Well, I can be perfectly queer as well, but perfectly clear. Jesus, I can't talk right now. Gwen is a murderer. She kills everything until it's not blue. That's and even still, sometimes it happens. I don't know, press the wrong button. But no, blue's sacred. But
unless it's a dreadnought or a carrier.
Sorry, you'll play up, won't you, Frozen?
I did solo a carrier in Yvangir once. That's the thing that happened. Gwen's here for the dirty work, you know. If you need something that's an extra little bit extra dirty, you know, yeah, absolutely. Go in there and do that. Whatever it may
it's
be.
It's basically murder for hire, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but you know, there are furts, the furts? Jesus Christ. There are fates worse than death too, so you know, you never know.
You just look at all the conflicts in Eve, there's so many, and you know, there are good people on both sides, most of them. So who do you fight for?
Just the person that'll pay you some money.
I'm looking for salt.
You can tip me one way or the other. I'm
yeah,
right
the money,
now.
The money is like a bonus. I'm looking for salt. The money's a bonus.
Yeah, all of my hired gun activity is actually just like volunteer work, actually. Like, looking back on it all.
We do community service.
It's just, you know, I'm just like... Like, okay, I'm going to join a 0.0 corporation, and then I'm going to go fight, you know, and join these fights. And I'm not ever getting paid for any of this stuff, and in fact, I have to pay to get the ship in order to go out and do this activity with them. And I might get reimbursement, depending on the activity, depending on what's going on, what the SRP program is. And then I might still, you know, even SRP usually doesn't fully cover all of your costs, so you still have a minor cost to go out and go with PvP. Doing mercenary work sounds much better than just being a line member that says, now I can go rat in your space. I don't want to do ratting. All I want to do is actually shoot people.
People get so
confused.
What do I get
for helping you take the system? Well, now you get to grind.
Yeah, now it's time to grind. And we'll take a tax from that too.
Right, right.
And it's what's paying for all this SRP program that we have. That you have been denied 3 times now. No, I've actually never been denied for SRP, but a lot of the times I was just like, I make so much money.
I have never asked for SRP ever. I contract the ship back at the end if it doesn't get blown up, and I believe I contracted a tormentor back to y'all and y'all didn't even accept the contract, so I have a tormentor in some random system. It was after, I think it was the first fleet that I did with you guys, which was a lot of fun, but you gave me a tormentor and I gave it back, but no one took it, so it's there somewhere. I mean, it's the tormentor.
So yeah, before we wrap up stuff here, I just always want to make sure that we give our guest a little spotlight here for you to kind of talk about any projects that you're working on, website that you would have, you know, any podcasts that you might be producing and dispensing upon the podcasts, podcasting community. So just give you a little bit of time here to do also any shout-outs that you want to give.
I'll give a shout out to everybody that we met at the Madison meetup. It was such a great time. It was a bit harrowing getting home. I've told most of you guys the story about that.
That was crazy, man. Real quick, you should tell that. Well, it's up to you.
If you got time.
I came out of the bar, I think we left it around midnight, which was already like 2 hours later than I planned on staying in the first place. I walked out to a flat tire.
I had to
go get that, and I had to charge the car, an electric vehicle. So I charged it. I got some duct tape, slapped the duct tape on, pumped the tire up, rolled it out of there.
Oh, wow.
And as I'm on the highway, I hit a wreck. I think it was a raccoon. It might have been a fox. You know, something with bushy tail. Going 70, 75 miles an hour. Boom. And I just figured I ran over it, which is already harrowing enough. And then I find the next time I pull off to check the air pressure, half my bumper's hanging off. The wheels are grinding. It's not good. So
damn.
Wound up having to take it into the shop. About $2,500
big raccoon.
In damage.
$2,500, damn,
yeah,
man.
$2,500, and I got
wildlife, crazy shit.
6 in the morning.
Six.
So it was like about a 6 hour drive with everything added up into it. It should have been 2 hours, but I still had a good time.
I'm so glad that you came out. Hopefully, you can still come out and not be traumatized by Madison's.
Take the train. We take the bus, you know.
If only, man. I wish we had a good freaking train to.
I think next time I fly out there, I'm going to Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee is a good place to maybe come in. I can definitely get you from Milwaukee without a problem. I can get you from Chicago, truthfully, without a problem.
But that's ridiculous.
As long as I don't run into the wildlife of.
Apparently.
You know, and whatever. Did you find out what punctured your tire at all? I'm guessing not. They don't usually.
They didn't do a forensic investigation.
Why not, man? You should have gotten that.
Just like a little nick on the side. It could have been a piece of glass or something. Who knows?
Yep.
Yeah.
Humans, be cleaner on the road, and you won't have these problems. continue, though. You were saying...
shout out to everyone. It was a good, welcoming meetup. I think we had like 10 people. That's really good attendance for a regional meetup. Great venue. Good pick, Frozen.
Yeah.
And
Io was amazing.
Flew in for it. That was awesome.
It was
lots
good.
Of killer
it was worth
queen.
It.
Worth lots of killer,
killer queen.
Queen. That
yeah,
was so
that's a good,
fun.
That's,
yeah.
a good, that's a good cabinet.
We were cool. dominant. I met all the puppies who came in to try to play.
Whoops.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it was awesome. And podcast-wise, declarationsofwar.com. Subscribe to our feed. Check it out. And, now that we picked up 2 corps into the network, we might as well go for 3 if anyone's listening wants to get in on this. Hit me up. So let's make it a hat trick.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's get more people in to start shooting and blowing stuff up together. I'm
we'll
really looking forward
to get blown up, man.
Project wise, we're gonna relaunch NAR Academy with a bit of an alliance change down the pipe. So that might be something fun that you guys could do, your listeners out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll get you ships to go get blown up in low sec there. Get some faction warfare going. It's always, you know, it's always good. Like, if I think that's the biggest entry thing. Like, when people are super, because I killed a dude this morning, as I was killing him, his Myrmidon on the gate, he said, "Please don't," and I will pay you. But then he exploded, and I was like, "Oh,
I will
too
pay
late."
You.
And then I recruited him into our corp this morning. So I was like, "Bro, you want to learn how to avoid that or to blow other people up? Come, I'll give you my," and I gave him a bunch of ships, and he's already gotten out and done some PvP with you, I think, Frozen, today. So yeah, like, just we'll teach you how to PvP. It is 90% learning how to actually lose a ship, and we fix that by giving you a ship so you can lose it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, especially newbies. Like, I can just hand out tons of newbie.
Yeah, because
frigates.
the dude was like, he asked me like later in the day, "How did you become rich?" And I was like, "Well, not really rich, but, you know," it's like, You can make LP, and you can make your own money, so it's good.
You blow up other people's ships and take their stuff. That's how you make
money. Yes, absolutely. Dude, so much.
I
keep all the faction and Tech 2 modules for my ships, and then I smash the rest of it and build ships with it. So, like, come on. That's what you gotta do.
You don't even have to mine. You just recycle everything.
Well, I do mine by blowing up people's haulers and mining ships.
Just take it off their corpses. It's fine.
Yeah,
we'll be repurposing Federation Frontline. We're not getting rid of the Alliance. We have a cool-ass logo. We're going to be teaming up together and building up two epic stories that are going to intertwine to awesomeness. So, thank you, Alex, for coming on. It definitely is always great to have you on the show here to talk about the ways of the mercenary life. And thank you all for watching. If you are interested in joining up with the war effort, go ahead and put in an application into Golden Age Stories in-game. You can also hit up Noir and really any player organization. I highly recommend getting in with players, joining a community or creating a community in EVE Online is probably the best way to play it. You can always watch us live on Twitch every Sunday at 2200 EVE time, 5 p.m. Central time. Today we did ours a little bit late so that we could accommodate for our guests. So not always, I guess, at 2200 EVE time. But if you did miss the show live, you can always watch us on our recording for our podcast, The Federation Frontline Report. You can find that on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, pretty much any other podcasting platform that's out there. Definitely check out our website, federationfrontline.com, for more information on our alliance, our podcast, our friends of the show, as well as EVE Online. And if you have any news that you want us to talk about on the show, after actor reports or news stories that you want us to talk about, go ahead and hit me up with an EVE mail, Frozen Fallout in-game. Have a great night, everyone.
Good night, New Eden.
Good night, everybody.